The Indian Mojo Show!
Welcome, wizards old and new, gray and white, tall and short, to episode 45 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. After a very long absence, I am very grateful to be back. I am Mojo Monkey 12, and as always, to the left of me is Daniel Jones. Indy, say hi to the adoring fans.
Hello, everybody. We're back.
Yep, back again. And to the right of me is Jack Gardner. Jack, say hi to all the folks out there in Indian Mojoville.
Hello, all five of you.
Five of you. Now, that's not very nice. There's at least seven.
Well, yeah.
You know, we may not have thousands of listeners and fans, but the listeners and fans we have are second to none. So I would take quality over quantity any day of the week until advertising becomes an issue. At that point, we just need lots of people. But until then, we'll take the best of the best.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense to everybody?
That's right.
Can we agree on that one thing? Because we've been trying to do this show for 3 hours, and we haven't even been able to start it because we can't agree on one thing. So can we agree on that, and then we can get going?
No.
All right. Sounds good. So yeah. How's everybody been? My goodness, I haven't seen or heard from you in quite some time. Jack, I've talked to you a little bit on GIO. Daniel, I know that you've been sick, and well, that's pretty much all I know. What have you been up to, Daniel, besides coughing and hacking and being sick?
Speaking of which, I've just been hanging out, trying to recover, but in the meantime playing some Sleeping Dogs, which is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah?
Really enjoying it, yeah.
What's your favorite thing about it thus far?
I don't know. I think it's the little things. Like, the combat's fun and all, and it's nice that the hand-to-hand combat is much better than something like GTA. But
it's not quite up there with Batman.
No, it's not quite up there with Batman.
But that's not its focus. So.
Well, and for those of our listeners who might not know what Sleeping Dogs is, could you kind of explain?
All right. Sleeping Dogs is an open-world game. It was True Crime 3, but it got dumped by Activision and went into development hell and was picked up by Square Enix, and they made it Sleeping Dogs, and you play as an undercover cop embedded in the triad criminal ring in Hong Kong, and you're trying to infiltrate them and get more information for your cop buddies. But at the same time, there's parallel stories going on. You're doing missions for the cops and gangs, and you kind of start to, like, the story is interesting because your character starts to become torn between the two worlds. And he starts to grow a little bit of allegiance towards the criminals. And what it does different is, one, I like the story, which, as you know, is something that always interests me in games. The story has definitely grabbed me, but the combat is more like Batman than something like GTA. It's very similar to Batman. Just the timing's just slightly different, and it's hard for me to get that. It's hard for me to really understand it. And I played this one level in a club over and over, probably like 20 times one night, just trying to beat it because I could not nail the timing of the combat. But now I've gotten it, so I'm comfortable with it, and I like it. But I'd say what I like best about it is that it does these little things that other open-world games don't really do. Like, there's you have this ability to leap from your car or your motorcycle to a moving vehicle to hijack it. And it's awesome. It's really amazing. And you, like, it has street races, which is nothing new, but the street racing in this just seems so much better than any other open world game that I've ever played. Like, it's a little scripted. Like, in GTA, any street racing missions I did, it seemed like I was still dealing with tons of traffic and all this other stuff, and I never really enjoyed them. But in this, it kind of turns into a racing game, and it's just awesome. And then evading cops is really easy, which is something I like, because I hate doing a mission and then having to evade the cops afterwards. It's just, like, annoying. And in this, that'll happen, but then you evade the cops really fast. So, I don't know, it's just little things that it does that I really enjoy.
Are there any multiplayer or co-op or anything like that modes?
No.
How long do you think it'll take you to finish the single player?
Probably around 20.
Okay, that's about right then. I think that sounds like cool. So would you recommend that game to other people?
Definitely. I would. Uh-huh. Yeah. And hold on, because I've also been playing Sound Shapes.
I was going to go there. Calm down.
Okay. And everybody needs to play Sound Shapes. You can buy a PS3 or Vita. But if you buy them, I mean, if you buy it, you get both versions.
But so, you can't give one away.
No.
Like, somebody asked me, or I saw somebody ask on Twitter, if they bought it on PS3, can they give the code for the Vita one away? It doesn't work like that. It's one game, and you can play it on both.
It's tied to your account. You download.
Yes.
Yeah, when you purchase it, you get the little icon to download both. And you download the Vita version to your PS3, then you have to go in and use your port or your Vita connected to your PS3 and transfer it.
I hear it's a great game. In fact, a lot of the people that I've been hearing from that have played it are really enjoying, like, not just the game itself, but a lot of the user-submitted levels are really having some fun with that. Have you experienced any of those, Daniel?
Well, on that note, I've been hearing a lot about this one level called Journey. In Sound Shapes, it's kind of all the rage. A couple articles written about it. Saw a couple YouTube videos. You know anything about that one?
Kind of popular, yeah. Who made that one?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you did.
Yeah, it's awesome. I made a journey-themed Sound Shapes level, and it's really popular. It has almost 4,000 plays. And
which is a lot for a game like that hasn't, you know, sound
yeah.
like tens of millions of people have downloaded it yet. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really cool user-generated levels on there, though. Someone did a Shadow of the Colossus level that's just awesome. It goes through all of the Colossi. And the way that he created the Colossi in the game is just so cool. He did a great job with the art. But just the way that game combines music with platforming, it's fantastic. And that's something that makes the user-generated levels unique, is that people can make their own songs, too, not just levels, you know.
Is it easy to use? I mean, is it easy to make your own levels and songs?
It's very easy to make a level.
Okay.
It's you have to have a musical ear to really make a decent song. It doesn't make people want to shoot themselves. And you have to understand the rules of the tool set. Like, the way it works is it has screens, so you run from the left side of a screen to the right side of a screen, and you have notes in that screen. So if notes in screen number one, they will carry over, they will echo on beat for two more screens. So they'll fill three screens total. But then after that, they'll disappear completely from your song. So if you have a song and, like, you set up the melody in one screen, and then three screens later, it's gone, you're going to have to put those notes in again so that that melody continues throughout the song.
Okay. So it takes some effort, but it's doable.
It does, but it's that's how it works. It's really cool. I enjoy working with it. But, you know, my journey level's popular, but I've made plenty of other levels that are not. And it's just because it's based on journey that it's popular. But
well, that and it's probably pretty decent. I mean, it could be based on journey and suck, and people wouldn't play it.
That's a good point.
So there is that. Well, I definitely plan on getting the game, and as soon as I do, I will download your levels, or play your levels, and be sure to give you all the praise in the world, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Have you been playing anything else with your illness?
No.
No?
No. Oh, I did download Horn on iPad.
What?
What did you download on your iPad?
With an H.
How do you do that? Did you jailbreak it? Because I've been trying to do that for months, and I can't figure it out. It's always like Safari cannot download this file.
I'm like, H.
Biscuit.
Horn.
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 Oh.
Okay. Oh.
I see.
Have you heard of this game?
No.
Have you heard of Annunciation?
I have a cold.
So tell me about this porn, Daniel.
It's got a really stupid story, and I haven't...
Most porn does.
I haven't paid any attention to the story.
Nobody watches porn for the story, Daniel.
But it's a third-person action adventure game.
So
it always is.
That's what she said. All right, seriously, tell us about this horn.
It's a third-person action adventure game. You play as this little boy with horns on his head, not Eco. And,
like a cross between Eco and Limbo.
Well, it's 3D, and it's very pretty. Like, the graphics are up there with Infinity Blade, I would say. And actually the combat is a lot like Infinity Blade. You lock on to enemies, it's one-on-one duels. At least so far it's been one-on-one. And you do the swipes and strategic timing and stuff like that. But the way you move around in 3D is really interesting. You just tap the ground of the environment where you want to go. So, if you want your character to walk over to a rock, you tap that rock. You want him to walk over to a door, tap the door. And it's that simple.
Okay.
And
interesting.
It's good. It's $8 on the iPad, so it's a little steep for iPad pricing, but I'd say it's worth it.
Alright. Let's check it out. Real quick, the World Ends With You is coming to iOS, which I think is really awesome, but the $20 price tag it has is a little bit ridiculous.
Wow, that's awful.
It is.
But
so,
is it a new, like, crappy iOS game, or is it the, like, one from DS?
It's a straight-up port, and I do think that the control scheme will port pretty well for the most part. You know, because it is a 2D game, side-scroller, you know, for the most part. And action is kind of, you know, the combat is really unique. It's really fun, but it's nothing that you absolutely have to have a controller to be able to use. So I think it's pretty cool.
Well,
I think if it was $10, it would be awesome.
See, the thing is, I've kind of just thought this, if it's a cheaper alternative to what's already out there, then, you know, I think that's, you know, it's fine to charge $20 for a full game that, you know, would normally run you, what, $40, $50?
About 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only 15? Yeah. 15 to 20, depending on where you get it. Is the DEA breaking down somebody's door?
Sorry. I'm plugging in my headphones because the battery's beating at me.
Oh, okay. No, I see. I don't disagree with you necessarily, but I think that...
I mean, if it's more than the usual, like, you know, essentially flash game that comes out, you know, I don't think all games that come out on mobile devices should just be 99 cents or $2 or something.
No, I think it would be completely fine at $10. I just think 20 is a little bit much.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So, yeah, I wasn't, like, ranting because it wasn't 99 cents or free. I just think that, you know, 10, maybe 15. But, yeah, I don't think, you know, a game that's selling retail and they can't even keep it in stock for $50 if it's ported should automatically cost half that. Yeah, it would be stupid for somebody to do that. But anyway, are you guys there?
What about you? Both of you. What have you guys been playing?
Yeah, Jeremy, what have you been up to?
Well, I mean, it's birthday, been playing.
So, happy birthday, Jeremy.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you, fellas. You're overly kind. I've been playing. I played Skyrim some more on PC. It's still pretty cool, although I kind of got into that lull where I played it for too much for too long and didn't do enough of the side quests. So now I'm like kind of maxed out at level, really overwhelmed, and I haven't even done the third part of the side quest, the main quest, I mean. So I need to get back to it and just blow through the main quest and be done with it so I can at least say I finished that game once. The Walking Dead Episode 3 came out, and it's downloading right now, finally. Episode 5 was supposed to have been out by now, so that really kind of irritates me a little bit. I don't know why. It shouldn't bother me as much as it does, but it does.
Well, it's your birthday, so you're entitled to be irritated.
I suppose.
Anything you want.
Guild Wars 2. I didn't really know much about that game. I'm not an MMO guy, and I still suck at it. And I'm terrified of interacting with anybody I don't know on there because I'm going to do something wrong. I just know it because they let you know. But I'm having fun just kind of doing my own thing. I haven't even really went off anywhere. I'm, like, just going around the main little hub of my world where I start with my character, like the first mission, I guess, and I'm just doing those things over and over to try to get a feel for it. It's... You know, that stuff is overwhelming if you don't really know what you're doing and you're not used to it. And I really wish somebody would invent, like, you know how they say MMOs aren't good for a controller because there's not enough inputs? But honestly, you only need the joystick. You know, you need one for the camera, one to move, so you could use the two joysticks to move around. That gives you 8, 10, 12, 14 other buttons. I think that's plenty. For most situations, I think that they should allow controller support on games like that. It would make me so, so much happier, and I would actually enjoy them that much more.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Jeremy. And I'm a bit overwhelmed by all the stuff for.
And I was looking at my Xbox controller that I use for Skyrim on PC, and there's plenty of room to even put, like, if somebody invented it, on the back of it, kind of like the PS Vita is, you know, there's touch inputs, but you could put, you know, four to six more inputs that would be easily accessible, just buttons like, you know, the buttons on those fancy mouses, and you could get 20 different commands on a controller fairly easily. I really, really think somebody should invent that, and I actually think that it would do pretty well, as long as it was a quality product. So, anybody that's an entrepreneur, get busy. Let's see, what else? I watched all four seasons of The Breaking Bad, and then I caught up on season 5, so pretty cool show, I guess. And what else did I do? I went shooting a couple times, which is fun. I like to shoot. I met this girl that her husband actually coaches people that do competitive shooting. So I talked to him, and I might try to do some of that stuff next year.
Don't make them mad.
The season's almost over. Yeah, don't make them mad. The season's over now, but it's cool. They go around in the summer, and they, like, camp out at all these places and just shoot. So that sounds kind of fun. Yeah.
They shoot the breeze.
They shoot the breeze and the ammunition. There's doubt about it. What else have I been playing? I think that's it. Borderlands. I've been playing Borderlands with a couple GIOers, so that's been fun. Getting ready for Borderlands 2.
Preparing for Borderlands 2.
Yeah, the voice chat, like on the PS3 Borderlands, is terrible, so I hope they fix that in the second one. And school starts tomorrow, so that's my life.
All right.
Jack, what about you? I know you wrapped up a very major event in your life this week, and I'm sure that was bittersweet. But before you tell us about that, why don't you tell us what you've been playing, who the lucky girl in your life is, and all that good stuff.
There's no lucky girl in my life.
Samus is a very lucky girl.
Well, she's also a dog.
She's a girl.
I suppose that's technically true.
Okay.
Samus is doing well. I've been playing a lot of games since my internship ended last week. I turned 21 last week, so that's cool. I guess I'm a year older.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you as well, Jack. And the good news is you didn't turn 21 in prison doing life without parole.
That's always a good birthday.
Hear that song? That's a cool song. Anyway, just saying.
Yeah.
It's like an old country song.
And I've been playing Transformers Fall of Cybertron, which is sweet. And if you don't know anything about it, or you do know something about it, you should go out and buy it, or rent it, or find someone who already owns it and play it with them. Because it is so much fun. I also started playing Battlefield 3 and found out that I really, really suck at that game.
But you're trying.
Yeah, I tried the first mission in the campaign, and I died like 5 times.
Yeah. I'll play the co-op with you. I honestly don't like doing the competitive because I just suck so bad.
Yeah, and then I made the mistake of going into the competitive, and I died quite a few times.
Yeah.
That might be something of an understatement. Other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Guild Wars 2, which, you know, it might be an MMO that I can get into because it doesn't have the monthly subscription.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I've always felt like that's kind of, I don't want to say a ripoff.
It's a deterrent, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it makes me not excited about playing that game. It adds extra stress. I want something to belong to me, and that's it.
Yeah. If that's the only game you play, and, you know, it costs you $15 a month for your entertainment, then by all means, go for it. But
right.
It's something just to play once in a while, it's not worth it.
Other than that, I've been working on a few other games that I've been meaning to finish up for a while. And one of those games being Enslaved.
Probably the best, least played game ever.
It is. I was very impressed with that game. And after I was done, I could not for the life of me figure out why there are, like, literally 20 copies of that game in the used game section of my local GameStop for, like, $15 a piece.
Yeah,
if you want to get this game, you can get your hands on it pretty cheaply.
And the fact that there's that many at one GameStop and it didn't even sell that many just goes to show you how many people don't have it in their collection. It's sad.
Well, and it's one of those games that just does so many things right.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of like how video games are or should be made.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Like, it's paced really well. The characters are well developed. The story is pretty unique. And it draws from, you know, previously written story.
Yeah.
And
but
I know.
It's still definitely unique.
Yeah. And even though it draws on that previous story, it gives its very own special twist to it. And I know you've played it, Daniel. I don't know if you've played it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You've played it?
Are you joking? Oh, yeah. I talk about that game all the time. I love it.
Okay. So, it's fantastic, and it has kind of a weird ending.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked that it was weird.
Yeah, you know, the ending was a little bit odd, but the whole game was so great that I never really thought too much of the ending.
Right, that was, it was one of those things I just didn't see coming, and I was like, oh, well, you know what, that makes sense. But it also just kind of leaves you with questions. I felt like they were good questions. Like, were the good guys really the good guys there? You know?
Yeah, it leaves you wondering. Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I thought that, like you said, the pacing was good. It lasted about as long as it should. It had a lot of variety in my opinion, in the combat and the puzzles and the platforming. I thought it was, for being a story that's been told, I thought they did a great job of retelling it. And
yep.
Just a beautiful game, you know, really, really worth buying. And
yeah,
if you do go out and buy it and buy it used, do yourself a favor and do the developers a favor and at least buy the really cheap DLC that's available.
I feel like I could talk about that game for a long time.
It's a great game, no doubt about it.
I'd say the acting in that game is some of the most underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, and the thing it gets right about the acting is that it's not afraid to be subtle. You know, it's not afraid that gamers are going to be too dumb to figure out this, so they need to throw in that little extra thing, like kind of sign that points, oh, this is what's happening. Like, you know, it's okay to be nebulous sometimes. You don't have to spell everything out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Played quite a bit of The Binding of Isaac again.
Okay.
That game is pretty great. If you haven't checked it out, it's probably one of the better dungeon crawlers to come out in the last 4 or 5 years. So.
It's coming to consoles.
What?
It's coming to consoles. There's a new story up tonight.
Excellent.
It's coming to consoles. It has a big chunk of DLC. I'm not sure if it's hit yet or if it's coming. I think it's coming this Halloween. But I might be wrong.
Cool.
And yeah, I hung out with one of my friends over the weekend, and we just a large chunk of our time was just spent watching game trailers for all the great games that are coming out this year. This is a good year for video games.
Yes, there have been very few bad years for video games, but this is definitely another great one. So, Jack, all those great things happened this week, but you did have the one very sad moment of your internship ending. If you could wrap that whole experience up for our listeners and just so Daniel and I could hear as well, how would you do that?
Well, it was pretty fantastic. I mean, I got to work with some of the best video game journalists in the industry and kind of got a feel for what it means to be a video game journalist and, like, what you're expected to do and how you're expected to do it, and how Game Informer actually works, because before I did the internship, I kind of had this unrealistic expectation of, like, oh, I'm going to be playing video games, like, all the time. And, like, I probably wouldn't have put it in those words, but my idea was that, you know, it's going to be really, really fun. And it was really fun. But it's also a job. And so there's a lot of work that goes into it. And there's a lot of work that you don't necessarily think about that goes into the magazine. For example, with interviews, like, you think of, like, two people talking together, right? Well, the part you don't think about is after that conversation happens, somebody takes the recording and passes it off to somebody else or sits down themselves and then types up that whole hour-long interview that's going to appear in the magazine and then has to edit it down or edit out the parts that just became garbled in the recording or, you know, whatnot. And sometimes those interviews can be pretty hard to get through, like if it's from a conference floor or something where there are tons of people in the background and you're talking with some guy who's from the Ukraine.
Yeah, somebody that doesn't have English as their first language. Yeah, I can see where that would be challenging.
Yeah.
Especially if it's somebody else's.
You weren't there, so you don't really know what was said or the context or the body language. It's just transcribing.
Yep, exactly. And then other things like copy editing. The stuff that you see in the magazine has been edited probably about, let me see, only about 10 to 15 times by different people. So there are days where editors will literally just sit down and spend their entire day reading through the magazine. It's like, I mean, if you stop and think about it, of course that happens. But it's also not one of the things that you immediately think about when you think of video game journalism. You think of people sitting down playing video games and then writing about playing video games. So it's work. I mean, you have to sit down and you have to do work. And there were days where we sat down for 6 or 7 hours and didn't eat or go to the bathroom.
You actually worked. So having had that experience and being somebody that has a degree in English and literature and other stuff that probably would come in handy for that kind of career, is it something you're still interested in doing as a career?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things that I feel I'm pretty well suited towards because I like creative writing, but I like it too much to make it my full-time job.
Okay.
And I love video games, but I don't have the skills to make my own video games.
Okay.
And video game journalism falls into this sweet spot of I can combine my interest and love for writing with my interest and love for video games into this neat package where I'm interested in it enough so that it's always fun, interesting for me, but it's also challenging and a way for me to do something I'm good at, which is writing.
So share one story with us real quick of your experiences over the summer that would help our listeners to get to know something about the Game Informer staff a little bit better.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Don't overcomplicate it. Could be something as simple as they all wear blue shoes on Tuesdays. I mean, just whatever. All right, well, we'll come back to that.
well, one thing is, like, everyone gets along with each other very well.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where everyone fits together. It's like a bunch of puzzle pieces that fit really well together. And at the same time, everyone is friends with each other, but they're okay with not hanging out outside of work at the same time.
Sure.
That kind of sounds weird, I guess, but that...
No, not really.
No.
But,
when video games are your life, you almost need to have a separate life outside of work that's not completely video games. Or not even that, just, you know, if the people you work with are people that are really, you know, you could really see yourself spending a lot of time with. I mean, almost all the people there have families of some sort, so I can see where their personal time would be pretty valuable and they'd want to use it as such.
Yeah. But everyone there is comfortable being themselves.
That's good.
And if that means, you know, sneaking downstairs with a Nerf gun to hunt an intern, or sharing a pizza from this place called Black Sheep Pizza, which makes pizza using coal-burning ovens. It's really, really good. You know, it's a very friendly place.
That's great. So, it's a environment where people can learn and grow, and it's okay to make mistakes and all that, because those are the best working environments.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's okay to make mistakes, just don't make mistakes.
It's okay to make them, just don't make them? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair, I guess.
And, you know, you need to be able to kind of banter back and forth a little bit, be able to take some verbal punishment and dish it back out.
Yeah. Well, it's an office full of mostly guys. I mean, I know there's a couple of gals there, but guys that like to give each other crap, so that comes with the territory.
Yep.
Excellent. So, overall, your experience was really great, and you're glad that you did it?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, yes.
And do you know if they're going to have any future internships? Because I know we've had some listeners asking about that and how they could apply for them.
Yep, there is a page at the bottom. It's contact us. It's at the bottom of every single page on the entire website.
All right.
Just click on that, and there will be a little box that says other questions. The second one down is, I want a job or internship. And that is where you would go to apply for an internship. And I believe they're having three terms of internships every year, and they started with this summer internship. So,
you'll always be the first.
Yep. First and best.
Excellent. Well, cool. That's great insight. And if people want to be an intern, then they can find out how to do it. I mean, you gave them enough information, so.
Yep.
If they can't figure out the rest on their own, then they got some issues.
And then they probably aren't made for this internship.
Probably not. Excellent. So, any immediate, I mean, do you know what your future is going to hold right now, or are you just going to kind of wait and see?
Well, I'm probably going to be trying to do some freelance work.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes, and that's about it.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that experience with us. I know that it was something you were really excited for, and I'm happy that you got the opportunity, and I have no doubt that in the long run you'll certainly make the most of it.
You're too kind.
Oh, not really. Cool. Well, speaking of being too kind, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
I just read a story about Skyrim's DLC Hearthfire has been announced. And it looks like it doesn't look like it's this huge thing. Basically, it's gonna cost $5, and it's gonna let you build your own house, which on PC you can already do with a mod anyway. But the thing that caught my eye is that it's gonna release on September 4th. And then my question is, do you think that people that play the game on PS3 that still haven't gotten the first DLC have a legitimate gripe? Because I've read a lot of people are irritated. And I think I am too a little bit. A legitimate gripe that other platforms are getting this DLC before they've even gotten the Dawnguard DLC. Keeping in mind that when this whole thing, you know, kind of first came out, it was always suggested that you know, PSN would be getting the DLC. So it's not like it was known from the beginning that this is the way it was going to be. You know, then obviously nobody would really have any right to complain. But since that isn't the case, do you think people have the right to complain, and why or why not? Daniel.
Yes. Yes, you should be angry.
Okay, well, just generally speaking, why should people...
Because...
Well, people should be angry, but I think if they want to be, I don't think anybody can look down on them.
No, because they... Like you said, I mean, you pretty much made the case. They should have Dawnguard by now, and even if Bethesda's having some sort of issue getting Dawnguard on PS3, at least communicate it to fans. But I wonder if the reason why they haven't communicated it is probably maybe because of Sony.
Okay.
Because I wonder if Sony has said, listen, we don't want people to know that you're having trouble with our system. So just keep quiet until it's ready to go.
I suppose that's possible, but Sony hears it just as much. And, you know, what you'll see is that people will start to blame the PS3 and blame Sony because it's not on there. And I think that at some point Sony would, I think they would want to stand up and say, you know what? It's a machine that everybody else can seem to develop for, so I don't really know. You know, say something. They don't want to continue to be looked at as the scapegoat, I don't think, or be attacked for something that the reality is it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I think that both of the companies are trying to make the best out of a bad situation. But communication is, I think, what's most important. And I don't know that Sony's telling them not to communicate. I think they might be telling them how they would prefer they communicate. Maybe that's the holdup. But yeah. To just not say anything is the worst possible thing they can do, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, Jack, do you think people should stop whining, or do you think that there's something to it?
I mean, I think people are perfectly justified in feeling upset that it's not here yet, but at the same time, I don't know if whining for it will get it out any faster.
Not likely, but yeah.
You know. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, people can and should be upset about it, but it's not going to get it to come to PS3 any faster. And in the long run, it's probably not even going to dent Dawnguard sales on PS3 when it comes out, you know?
No, but the other side of this...
that they're taking so long to get it out, and people might not be interested in it anymore.
Yeah, I think people that were going to buy it are going to buy it. I think that it's probably going to sell far less on PS3 than it could have if it would have released on time. I really do. But I think any delaying it any further now isn't going to make much of a difference. I was looking at the VG charts for sales, and Skyrim sold 4 million copies on PS3, which is a lot.
Yeah.
It really is. So it's not like, you know, they sold, I think, 7 million on 360 and, like, about 4.5 million on PC. And they sold a lot on PS3. Now, they sold the least on PS3, but 4 million is still a crap load of sales and a crap load of people that I really don't, you know, I think that, I do think that they should try to do something to appease those people. I really do. And I don't mean give them anything. That's not me sitting here saying they need to give me a free game. No, it's just talk to them. Say, you know what, I think the best thing they could do is come out and say, we had problems doing this that we didn't expect, and it was more challenging than we thought. What is wrong with saying that? Seriously. They can say that, and then people can blame that on Sony, or they can blame it on Bethesda, or they can blame it on both. It doesn't really matter, but at least it's out there, because that's got to be what the deal is. They just are having a hard time. I can't imagine any other reason why they would not be releasing stuff, and why a lot of their content over the years has been subpar on the PlayStation 3 platform. I don't know, and I think it affects me maybe more than others because it seems to happen to me with their games. So, you know, clearly I'm a little more invested into it. And I do think that a part of that is my play style. I tend to play, like I mentioned earlier, just on PC, where I get these huge games and do all this stuff. And I do think that particular play style lends something to these issues. But the game allows for that, so they should be able to develop for that and count on that and test for that and be able to patch for that if the case comes up. Just my thoughts. But yeah, I guess I do agree that PS3 users do have a right to voice their opinion respectfully, of course, about it. Because they like to, they want to be a vampire too, or not. They want to be able to choose.
Oh. Yeah.
So this would be a perfect time to insert his vampire history list.
Yes.
Maybe at the end of this episode, we'll insert that.
Yeah, we'll see. So anyway, but the Hearthfire DLC looks cool. You can completely build your own castle.
It looks like the
abode. The Sims?
It looks like Skyrim Sims.
Yeah, it kind of does, huh?
Or Skyrim Minecraft plus Sims.
Sky Sims.
That sounds awesome.
Sky Sims.
Skycraft Sims.
Skycrack Sims. Yeah, that does sound awesome.
That does sound kind of awesome.
I'd play that game.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely. Are you going to play the Mass Effect 3 single-player DLC? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel?
I suppose so.
Yeah, I would have to give an eye on that as well.
Yeah.
Can't see any reason why not. Real quick, congratulations to everybody involved in Extra Life. We have eclipsed the $3,000 mark. We're still in second place, but we're keeping somewhat of a pace. Those people aren't thousands of dollars ahead of us yet. But not calling anybody out, but there's a whole lot of zeros on there, so people get out and raise some money if you can, please.
Yep.
Dee-dee-doo.
I'm one of them, so let's pick it up, people.
Yeah. If Daniel can do it, you all can do it.
Just harass your friends and family until they give you, like, $10 to make you show up.
Like, how many times have you wanted to go to the movie in the last few months and you just started bugging your family members until they gave it to you to get rid of you? Same concept. You know, Mom, I need $10. I need $10 to donate to Extra Life so Mojo will shut up. Pretty simple stuff. You just got to do it. Use me as the scapegoat. I'm happy to be that person. I've made a career out of it. So just get to it and do it. All right?
Good. All right.
We want to be number one. We want to raise a lot of money. Very special thank you to the Game Informer staff and Tim Turry for running a news story, because we had a large influx of not only people signing up, but people signing up and donating when that happened. And that would be really awesome if that could happen, you know, every couple of weeks until the event, because I think that would make a huge difference. I really do. But I'm not going to keep bugging them about it or anything. Check your emails, guys. Jerks. No, just joking. But it would be great. So congratulations to Extra Life people, and let's keep raising money. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just not feeling great.
Yeah, I can tell. It's all right. Anything else you guys want to discuss? Should we do our shout-outs? Should we talk about our retirement plans, of which I have...
I'm thinking maybe we should wrap up this episode, because Daniel sounds like he needs to...
It does. So
lay down and sleep or die.
Sounds fair.
Yeah.
Then let's do it, and let's let Daniel be the first person
shout-out.
Episode 45... Indian Mojo Show community. Shout out. Buddy, the floor is all in the spirits of the GOP convention, which is happening right now. Daniel, I nominate you as our person to give the first shout out today.
Wait, does that mean I'm running for president?
Yep.
Clap.
It means that you get to debate people. And you're running for president, and you don't have to share your tax information or something. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it means something.
All right. Well, we just need to be careful, because Obama might send a hurricane after us.
Story of hurricanes.
So, no, my shout-out this week is for Mr. Tibb. I like his name, first of all.
Call me Mr. Tibb.
What was that?
That's from Unbreakable.
I don't know what that is.
It's the second M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Okay.
With Bruce Willis and that other guy. Anyway.
Oh, right.
Samuel L. Jackson, yeah. So anyway, Mr. Tibb wrote his first blog called Hype Makes the Game, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he talks about some games that did not get enough hype that should have.
Enslaved.
He doesn't mention Enslaved, but he should have.
But it's still a good blog.
He did mention Singularity, though.
Yes.
And he even mentioned some games that got a little too much hype. Which some recent fans of Darksiders 2 might not be so happy with him, because that's one of them. But go read it. Check it out anyway. It was good.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Tibb.
Jack, would you like to go next?
I'd love to go next.
Okay.
I'm gonna show a little bit of favoritism and shout out Allie Rapp for her blog. I am now a GI intern alum.
I hope Allie sticks around as part of the community, just saying.
I think she'll pop in from time to time. But now she just nicely wraps up her experiences writing, working for the Game Informer magazine and website, and it's a good read, and I encourage anyone interested in the internship or what it's like working at Game Informer to give it a look and read it with your eyeballs.
Okay. Congratulations, Allie, on a job well done. Thank you.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yes. Good job. All right. Anything else? Do you have any other shout-outs? Or are you going to sneak in another one, I guess, is what I'm saying?
I was going to sneak in one, but it's to Tim Turry. Just because he is somehow still playing through Siberia in Super Replay.
Uh-huh.
And that is by far one of the worst games I've ever seen.
Right,
yeah, I can only imagine how awful it is for him to have to play through the entire thing.
Well, thank you, Tim, for being such a trooper. And a fool. Awesome. Cool. All right, well, then I guess I'll move on to my shout-outs. My shout-out goes to a feller that goes by the name of Glasses. Yep. Which is a cool name. And recently I saw a blog of his. You see what I'm saying?
Too rich.
I know, right? Actually, I've been reading his blogs for a while. I think he's a great blogger. I'm kind of sporadic, but he's a busy guy. He has a life. He does things going to make a difference in this world, unlike me, so, you know, whatever. But his blog, An American Gamer in Europe, which he posted on the 25th, talks about his experience going abroad to do some studying, that sort of stuff, and the differences between gaming there and here and the things he had to go through just to be able to play games, which, you know, he's not suggesting it was like some terrible experience, but just the subtle differences, subtle similarities, and I don't know what it was about it. I think he's just an excellent writer to begin with, so I like reading his work, but I thought he did a great job. And just wanted to bring it up. So good job, Glasses. Welcome to the Indian Mojo Show family of shout-outs. We hope you come back again sometime soon. And the dude can speak like 17 languages, which is pretty impressive.
Wow.
Okay, maybe 3.5, but whatever. That's
close to 17.
That's a lot. It is. And I am going to cheat like I've done in the past. And I also want to mention Tognik and his most recent blog, which...
Hey, did you call him that on purpose?
I did. I was going to see if it slid on by, and clearly it did not. TOG Nick and his most recent blog where he titles himself a loser. To begin with, that's not the kind of positive reinforcement you need there, young man. But I get what you're saying. Not a loser, a failure, I should say. And his blog just simply titled, Well, I Failed. And he doesn't really go on to say that he's a failure. He goes on to talk about how he did not finish the 31 and 31 challenges he set out to, and some of the obstacles that came up, including, you know, real life, but just his opinion, being a writer and somebody that loves to write, or likes to write at least, coming up with a topic because he has to every day, especially when he's written 200 blogs, was pretty challenging for him, to be able to do so in a manner that provided original, thoughtful work. So, I kind of agree with him. I think that the 31s and 31s are awesome, but they're not for everybody, and I think it's cool when people can... I just like the way he acknowledged that, you know what, I didn't do it, but that's okay. I can still ride at my own pace. And he also did mention that even trying, it's really helped get him out of a slump, or whatever he called it, and made him... You know, reinvigorated his desire to write blogs. So, something good came out of it for sure, and I applaud him for the effort, and I think Nick is a great writer. He's written some excellent blogs. Even the controversial ones, I think, are very well written, and usually do a good job of sharing his thought or his point. So, write at your own pace, not just him, but everybody else, and blogging is not a popularity contest. It's not supposed to be. It's not all about how many you have next to your name. It's about the quality of the blog. And if you're happy with it as a blogger, as the writer, that's really all that matters, whether you have 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 comments. One of the best bloggers on GI, in my opinion, is Kyle Wadsworth, Shootist. And for whatever reason, the guy usually only gets a handful of comments. And I don't know the difference between him and somebody that gets 20 comments, but his blogs are extremely well-written, funny, humorous, you know, lengthy, or in my opinion, about the right length. And the guy just keeps blogging because he does it because he enjoys it, not because other people want him to. And I think that's the way it should be.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Yep.
No, but good for Nick, and I'm glad that he's back. Sorry, that he's back on track writing. And I think one thing for him was that he realized that he doesn't want to just write about video games. Like, he knows music and movies and TV and knows all that so well. Also, he's very well rounded, so it's hard to limit yourself to just video games, which is part of the challenge of writing on former.
Yes, good point. I forgot to mention that point, so thank you for adding that in.
You're welcome. Alright. So that was sorry. That was this week's show. I'm dying over here, so we're going to close it out. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Next week, maybe I'll have a little more energy, and we'll all have a little more energy.
And don't forget, if you want to be a part of our anniversary show that Daniel is doing, contact him, and he'll set up a time to either get on Skype with you, or you can just send a conversation message. That was a great idea. Special thanks to Dean Robot for on the Game Informer site, for coming up with that idea. And we really have liked the feedback we've gotten so far, but we'd love to hear more.
Definitely.
For sure.
All right. With Jack Gardner.
That's Jack. Me.
And Jeremy Brown.
That's me sometimes.
Daniel Jones, you stay classy, Game Informer.
Thank you for stopping by.
I love Iron
Mike Tyson. I love Lucy.
Just a sweaty person.
Yeah, you know, life is what, like 3% perspiration or something like that. That's what they say.
Where's this conversation going?
Who says that? What do you mean, who says that? Lots of people say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Name me five people that have said that.
Okay, the guy that coached the Green Bay Packers, he said it. The guy that coached Notre Dame said it. Fairly sure that Dan Reichert said it at least one time.
Okay, that's one name.
You want actual names? Okay, Lou yep. Holtz. Lambo, remember his first name was? Oh, wait, no, that's the guy that the trophy's named after.
Lambo is a fictional character.
Oh, he doesn't count. Sylvester Stallone, then, said it, I'm pretty sure. Vince Lombardi, that's the name I was thinking of.
You're up to four.
Let's see. Daniel, what's your dad's name? Mr. Jones.
Yep.
Said it. And
made it to five.
Shigeru Miyamoto said a form of it.
What?
And Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Yes, yes. Oh, I finished that book, by the way. And I think that part of it's, I mentioned this on Twitter, but I'm not, or actually before the show, I'm not completely convinced that it's an entirely true story, but for the most part, I think it's pretty accurate. It talks about how he really loved his stepmother. And I don't doubt that he did, but I don't think it's quite as much as they made it sound.
You mean, like, incestually?
Oh, no. Oh.
How dare you say that about Abraham Lincoln?
But, like, he really didn't like his dad, supposedly. Resented him, but he really, like, loved his stepmom. So I think that there's maybe some a little bit of falseness to that. But the rest was completely historically and awesomely accurate.
Okay.
Except for the vampires.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm just a skeptic.
What are you saying?
Whoa. You haven't read this book. I was a skeptic, too. You must read the book. Once you read the book, you'll have no doubts whatsoever.
You'll be convinced.
Yes.
So that was really what the Civil War was, right? It's actually vampires?
No, well, it was to prevent slavery, because that's what vampires were feeding on. Slavery was like a buffet for the vampires.
Right.
They only ate slaves?
Then not only, but it made it easier for them to thrive in America, particularly in the South, because they had jerk plantation owners or slave owners that were willing to buy slaves and then sell them to the vampires. They live hundreds of years. Most
right.
of them don't commit suicide or die until they're at least 300 years old. And they can amass quite a bit of wealth in that time. So they can afford to pay a pretty good premium for humans. And people didn't think twice about slaves going missing. So that's how a lot of them fed in America.
Hmm. Interesting.
And that's
why did they have to be in America if they were vampires?
Because they're vampire hunters in Europe and England.
Why not go to different countries that don't have laws against slavery?
What?
Wouldn't that be easier? I mean, if you're a vampire, why do you care?
In the 1860s, most countries did have laws against slavery by then. Slavery certainly existed throughout history, but like, you know, like, there were people like Daenerys Targaryen, for example. She single-handedly freed almost every single slave in across the ocean. So, like, you know, and that was years before the Civil War. So slavery has existed throughout history, absolutely. Anybody would be a fool not to say so. But by the 19th century, it had been outlawed or ran off in most areas, except for America, the South, to be specific. And vampire hunters were everywhere. Like Van Helsing, that's not an English name. That's not an American name, obviously. So many of the vampires fled to America to get away from the vampire hunters to begin with. And like any good person, once it's not your problem, you don't care about it anymore. So they didn't chase them. The vampire hunters, that is, didn't bother chasing them over the ocean. And, you know, that's, I mean, do I really need to spell this out for you? It's logic.
But if there were no more vampire, or the only vampire hunters were in Europe, then they would be out of a job.
Well, that wasn't their main... That wasn't Abraham Lincoln's only job. The guy ran the free world, for heaven's sake. I mean...
No, he didn't. Now you're just making stuff
they
up.
They don't... Vampire hunters didn't do it for money. They did it for other various reasons. Abraham Lincoln did it because a vampire killed his mom and some inbred uncles that were at his house or something as well. But mostly his mom.
So you're telling me that vampires only...
was a vampire and couldn't come through on it.
So you're telling me vampires only came to America and they didn't go to places like Australia, Africa, South America, Antarctica, Madagascar,
I'm saying,
Japan.
Listening to me. Clearly stated that they have, yes, they have been in other areas, but in that specific time, and you know, there weren't thousands of them here. I mean, good lord, there were some. And there was actually a rather large segment of vampires that were helping the vampire hunters because they didn't want to be given the bad name that these people that were just, you know, all willy-nilly drinking blood. Now, of course, these other vampires, they had to do it too, but it wasn't as bad for them because they felt bad about it, right? I mean, they only fed when their appetite became so insatiable that they couldn't help it. They didn't think it was honorable to steal babies out of cribs and to eat the blood of people that couldn't defend themselves.
Wait, so...
You guys are mocking me, and you don't even think anything I'm saying. You're just like
I'm just a little bit funny. How did one become a vampire in the 1860s? So it wasn't like if you got bit, you just turned into a vampire. You just die.
If you just get bitten, you don't turn into a vampire. That's a false.
Oh well, how does it work?
Okay, to begin with, most vampires didn't just go around turning everybody into vampires because that was just bad business. It was more competition, more people to take up the very limited resources. So, in fact, the first vampires in America got here because there was this group of settlers that came over from
Catan.
And this guy, and they settled in North Carolina in Raleigh, I believe.
Raleigh.
It's now Raleigh today. Thank you.
Well, since I live there, you know.
Oh, congratulations. Vampire.
For the MLG events.
I don't live in Raleigh. I just live in North Carolina.
Oh.
Well, that's
I live
state.
In Charlotte. I mean, it's better than Raleigh, but...
Duke is better than... UNC, I mean, right?
No.
I meant the other way around.
anyway, I'm leaving now. I'm done.
So these people settled on this area, okay?
Okay.
And the leader of this expedition, his daughter and her husband were there, and she was pregnant, like quite a bit pregnant. Anyway, like on the way over, two people somehow died mysteriously, but nobody thought much of it. And, he had to go back to get supplies because the natives, the Indians, they thought were being hostile. So he went back to the homeland to get food because the Indians wouldn't trade with them, they thought. They kept finding dead, you know, villagers, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And not only did they find dead villagers, they found them all mangled in really weird places and never a trace of blood. So they thought it was some crazy Native American ritual going on. So he went back to get supplies, food, whatnot, to bring back. And while he was there, the war with the Spanish had started, and the Queen wouldn't let him take a ship because she needed every ship for the British Army, Navy, I mean. So a couple of years later, when he finally was able to get a ship, he came back, and the whole village was empty. And he wasn't really sure what was going on. You know, so he went home and hoped for the best. That the best wasn't good at all. What had really happened was this doctor that came over with the village, with the initial expedition, the initial settlers, was really a vampire. And he was one by one, you know, killing all these people and drinking their blood. And he was pretty discreet about it. Everybody, at first he made it look like it was the savages, the Native Americans. And after a while, people would get this mysterious illness. They called it, like, milk sickness or something like that. And they would die. Well, this woman walked in on him one time while he was feeding on one of these victims of the milk sickness. And, like, she screamed, and, like, four other people saw it. So he's a vampire. He killed them all pretty quickly. But there was no way he was going to be able to explain to the rest of the settlers what had happened. You know, how these four people just all of a sudden died. So he decided he had to kill everybody, and he did. Except for the baby. The woman that had the baby, he figured he'd want company at some point. And this baby was the first English-born settler in America, and he thought that was kind of cool. He was, you know, vampires are history fans, after all. They've lived through a lot of it.
They're nerds.
Yeah, you know, in a large way they are. So he brought this baby. He was going to let it live, you know, and it maybe was suggested that the baby was a female, so he thought he could use it eventually to trade for goods or services, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was kind of morbid, kind of sick. Vampires don't really do the nasty because it's too cold. They don't really care much about for it, supposedly, allegedly, at least in their non-flesh life. Anyway, as he was walking out of this colony, he found one other guy that was still breathing. I mean, he was like mangled, like his half his body was missing. He was in pretty rough shape. Well, he was about to finish him off, and then he thought, you know what? The baby's cool and all, but it's going to need somebody to take care of it. I really can't do that right now. So he drank the baby, fed on the baby, and then he took his knife and opened a gash on his arm and dripped some blood into the blood of this man's wounds. The man, of course, recovered, and he became a vampire. Well, this man happens to be a good vampire in the long run. He was the one that taught Abraham Lincoln about vampires and how to kill them a couple hundred years later.
So you make a vampire by having a vampire drip their blood into your blood?
Apparently, yes.
So it's a... Okay.
So it's not...
So you could have summed all of that up in just one sentence.
That's not what you asked.
I asked how people were turned into vampires.
I thought you meant, like, to begin with, like how did vampires... You asked how vampires came to America. I specifically remember that. You were like, so they don't have vampires in Australia or Africa or South America or Detroit or Toys R Us? Did you not?
Going to suck to edit.
Judge us not, Jackalope 38, for we are not one.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, why not have all the... Why would the vampires come to America? Why not go to Africa where there's still slavery? If that's the... If slavery is the selling point for them.
They don't have all the answers, okay?
Because then we wouldn't have a story about Abraham Lincoln, and that's the important part.
I mean, there's still slavery. It's just a rule.
George Washington werewolf. This word could really get out of it.
Lisa, you haven't learned yet that you just need to stop asking him questions, otherwise we're going to get another 30-minute explanation.
And then Daniel will have to edit the entire thing.
Yes. He's not going to edit. It's going to somehow be... I'll be looking like a dork or a jerk or an idiot in the next episode because of this.
Exactly.
He's loving every second of it. You guys don't believe me. Look, I'm reading the book right now. This book is a 100%, I'm reading it word for word, 100% fantasy, horror, historical fiction. That means it's completely true. I went to high school English. I know what those words mean.
Except for fantasy.
They have a picture of Abraham Lincoln.
Fiction.
Abraham Lincoln holding an axe in one hand and a vampire head in his other hand. There's pictures in the book that were clearly taken a long time ago because they're black and white and you can hardly see them.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's pictures in this book?
Well, I mean, there's more words than pictures.
Wait. Hold on. So there's a picture of the vampire head on the cover, or in the book, right?
And on the back.
You aren't supposed to be able to see vampires.
It's not being held up at the... What? See, that's the thing. Everybody
like
has...
Like mirrors and, like, pictures, you're not supposed to be able to see them.
Everybody thinks that vampires are just like it shows in Twilight. That's not true. That's what makes people... That's what gives this book a bad name.
It's sparkling.
Don't even mention... Why did you have to go there, Jeremy?
Ridiculous. I'm about to storm off the set. You guys have just got me frustrated.
Go back to your trailer, Jeremy.
Anyway... Vampires aren't real, you guys. I had
what?
To win. Fools.
Such a great troll.
They were real, but they're not real anymore because Abraham Lincoln and some other... Well, I mean, there's still like Henry's still alive, that one vampire. But for the most part, they're not around.
So you're telling me that vampires are just like evolution and... never mind.
See, vampire is actually short for vampirial, because really there was this guy to begin with. His last name was Vamphetamine, and he created this army of people and this like colony, and they call themselves imperialists. Okay. So vampire is really derived from vampirial. Which was a combination of this vamp guy, vamphetamine guy, and his army of imperials.
You're just making stuff up now.
You know, I wasn't before. All right, that was fun, but I should probably stop.
Yeah. It's late.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Did you just become a creeper? What was that?
Oh, thought the show wasn't recording.
Oh.
I'm going to stop it now so it's not so long.
Wait, no!
We didn't end it.
We never actually closed out the damn show.
Oh, we haven't?
No.
Oh, we should totally do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I have to edit this crap. God.
You don't have to.
You're such an ass.
I know, right?